Right, Gavin here, and I'm Braidwood FM, and I'm joined by Tim Overall. Welcome, Tim.
Yeah, good morning, Gavin, and good morning, Braidwood.
Right, it's all happening. And so you had a busy morning this morning. You've been on the go already with this fire that's been happening over the border of Queanbeyan and ACT.
Yes, had a very busy and difficult day yesterday with the Pialago fire joining up with the fire from the Redwood Forest and heading towards Queanbeyan, to the Queanbeyan West, Crestwood, and our community of Oaks Estate.
Right.
I say our community because although it's just across the border, it is part of the Queanbeyan community. So, very difficult day, but terrific job by ACT Emergency Services. And then we also had, as the RFS from the Lake George Zone, I understand something like 13 crews on the scene there too, preventing any real damage to any properties as such. I'm talking about houses and the like.
Yeah.
But it got very close, and 90-kilometre winds or gusts up to 90 kilometres. It was pretty vicious at one stage.
Yeah, it was certainly pretty strong. And the and going over the 2 days, it's actually still burning, I think, in that recycling place in just off Canberra Avenue there, I think.
Well, that's right. And but with a little bit of moisture yesterday evening was very welcome, so that dampened things down. And they've got it pretty much under control now, and being in controlled within the containment lines.
Right.
So I think it's conditions have eased off better day to day.
Yeah, certainly, and that's what we've been talking about. So we've got quite a few things. We've got bushfire recovery, the Braidwood Water, and January meeting of council. First, we're going to talk about bushfire recovery. So what have we got happening there?
Yeah, well, our assessment teams have really been out and about surveying the extent of the damage. You know, for Queanbeyan Palarang, our local government area, the latest count I have is that 57 houses have been destroyed,
right.
15 houses damaged, 8 facilities destroyed, and about 3 facilities damaged, and about 180 outbuildings either destroyed or damaged. So fairly significant when you compare it to the Kawoola bushfire, but not as significant, of course, when you compare it to Shoalhaven, 313 houses destroyed, Yirrabidalla, 463,
right.
Bega Valley, 340 houses destroyed. So a lot of effort and work going into recovery, which we can touch on shortly. But in terms of damage across Queanbeyan Palarang, around about 130 kilometres of roads have been severely impacted. I think we've lost or severe damage to 3 bridges, Forbes right. Creek, Maloon Trail, and the off-river Forest Road Bridge. Narriga Tip was destroyed.
Right.
And the estimated cost is around $4 to $5 million to council at this stage, where we'll be seeking funding for. In due course, and inspections are continuing around Araluen and the Jindan areas too.
Right, yeah, because there's still a bit of ongoing fire activity down in those two areas, isn't there?
Yeah, well, that's right. And yesterday, around North Black Range south, I think I understand you'll probably get an update. You'll be getting an update from the RFS shortly, I heard. But a tree which looked out actually collapsed and generated a bit of fire activity towards Cooma Road yesterday too.
And we also had a little bit down at American Bean Road at Araluen, in much the same scenario. So a little bit like what happened a couple of weeks back, I guess, in the North Black Range fire, when there was a bit of an outbreak around in the Harold's Cross area, when we had a gusty day and a tree that appeared to be out as well. The wind came through and just fanned the embers inside, and away it went again.
Yes, and that's the ongoing danger, together with, of course, lightning strikes. And and just looking at the map this morning over at the RFS Control Centre in Queanbeyan, they have a map showing where every lightning strike occurred in the last 24 hours across the whole of New South Wales.
Right.
Red dots. The whole of New South Wales is just, just dots everywhere.
Right.
All over Sydney metropolitan area, but all over our area, right across south coast, north coast and to the west. Gee. Red dots everywhere, the lightning.
Yeah. You don't sort of, you think, you know, thunder goes with lightning, but not necessarily always the case, because you don't hear it sometimes. Okay, so we've had community meetings or informal get-togethers in Nerriga and Araluen. What's been happening with those?
Yeah, well, on Sunday, back on the 12th of January, we had the community meeting at Nerriga.
Right.
It was at the local pub there. Terrific attendance. I think there were probably over 200 people there. So I had an opportunity with John Barilaro and our CEO to speak to everybody there and take questions, and some very challenging and difficult questions, I have to say, but very worthwhile, and I think that had a really good reception. And then on the following day, we're down at Araluen, and this was a more informal get-together at the RFS shed. The Governor-General, David Hurley, and Mrs. Hurley were also present visiting Braidwood, and then down to Araluen at the RFS shed, and talking to all the community, and so that was very worthwhile too. But we will be having bushfire recovery community meetings across the area, back in Nerriga and Braidwood and down at Araluen into the future. Dates are yet to be set, but that'll all be part of the recovery process.
Yeah. Okay, so we're talking of the recovery process. What are we? What are we going? How's that going to happen?
Well, yeah. Well, the Deputy Premier, our local member, who's also Minister for Regional New South Wales, John Barilaro, has been appointed by the Premier as the Minister responsible for disaster recovery.
Right.
So that was made earlier this week, that decision. So what's happening regionally is that on 3rd of January, a regional recovery committee was established together with councils and regional agency heads. And this is regional. So this is Queanbeyan, Palarang, Yirrabidalla, Bega Valley and Snowy Valley and Snowy Monaro in particular, as a regional recovery committee. So Dick Adams, who was a former Assistant Commissioner of Police, and I've known Dick well for quite a few years now, he's been appointed by the New South Wales Government as Regional Coordinator. Andrew Colvin is the Commonwealth Coordinator. And the Regional Committee has really an operational and strategic focus based on recovery, rebuilding, resourcing and resilience. And with over 1,000 dwellings lost in the southeast, there is an enormous demolition task, removal, development approvals and construction task ahead. So communications, mental health and well-being, waste, particularly waste containing asbestos, business and tourism will all be the focus of that regional committee. For example, just in regard to waste, we've had requests from the coastal councils to lift the 15-ton load limit to O'Allen Ford Road, and limitations on Nerriga Road also to be lifted to enable freight access to the Windelima and Woodlawn waste facilities. Windelima in particular is the only asbestos waste facility in the area, in the region, so there'll be a lot of traffic accessing through our local government area those facilities. So whilst we've supported that in principle, we have discussions underway with the government to seek funding to rehabilitate those roads, which are going to be quite severely damaged with all that extra traffic. Now, locally, obviously, recovery is going to be ongoing for some period, and we have to focus on the rebuilding of homes, sheds and other infrastructure that have been lost. Initially, we've put together a whole schedule of priorities with regard to clearing and infrastructure works. That's been compiled for tasking with the ADF to undertake a lot of those works at the moment. So we've established what's known as a local recovery committee as opposed to the regional recovery committee, and we feed into that regional committee. The local recovery committee met for the first time on 15th of January, last Wednesday, and this Wednesday week, and it also met again just last Wednesday this week, and will meet weekly thereafter, and that is chaired by myself. So that also includes a number of government agencies and QPRC staff representatives, and we'll be focusing on local priorities and the availability of resources. So particularly in the areas of planning and development applications for rebuilding structures destroyed by the bushfires, the issue of temporary structures and interim dwellings, communications, restoring phone and internet services, fencing repair, a whole range of local areas that we'll have to focus on, including removal of asbestos and various structures. So there's going to be a lot of work in that area by that committee. So I guess the recovery process is clearly well underway.
Yeah.
It's getting a lot of focus and from all the agencies, but it's going to be quite a period of time.
Yeah, before anything really happens on the ground, isn't it? Because obviously, if you're going to do the job, you want to do it properly. So you've got to do the groundwork first, don't you? You can't just rush in and do it holes bolus. It's got to be coordinated.
Exactly right.
Mm. All right, so we've got all these local recovery committee and action plans and regional committees, and so we've got a recovery centre happening locally?
Yes, as part of the local recovery committee, one of the first decisions was to set up a recovery centre. We're actually calling it now Recovery Information Centre,
right.
And that's set up in the Braidwood meeting room, the old library in Park Lane here in Braidwood. Now, I'll give out the phone number. It is 6285 6789 for the local Recovery Information Centre. And the email address is recovery@qprc.nsw.gov.au. So that phone number again, 6285 6789. So this is really to assist people with a single point of advice and assistance.
Right.
They come in, and I understand in the first 2 days of its operation on Monday, Tuesday, some 25 people were with quite desperate stories and difficult situations have accessed the help there from that Recovery Information Centre. Debbie Ferguson is in there, also Chris Duncan from QPRC, and also Michael Goiser from QPRC. Now,
right.
They're not all there together,
no.
But they're manning that centre. And there is also a mobile capability being established to visit Araluen, Nerriga and so forth. So,
right.
That's also well underway.
Okay, so what are some of the things that are actually going to happen in the recovery centre? Because is there going to be things like some of these things that are on the bushfire recovery and assistance sheet that you sent?
Yeah, all those measures, government and Commonwealth programs, what local council can do, the various forms of assistance, how to access, the staff there can help fill out the necessary forms online,
right. Yep.
Online, get them submitted, and just help with the community.
Right, okay, so it's disaster recovery and payments and recovery allowances and all those sorts of things.
All those matters, yeah, and grants,
yeah.
And the like, yes.
Yeah, sure. All right, moving on, what's the council's infrastructure priorities then?
Well, the Nerriga tip was the first priority.
Right.
Because you've got to have somewhere to take all your burnt materials for those poor people that have lost houses and buildings, or damaged houses and buildings also. So that's been restored. The clearing alongside the roads and infrastructure restoration works of a minor nature but important works been the ADF has been of terrific assistance there. So we've got a whole schedule of some 5 pages put together of the 130-odd kilometres of road and various sections that need work. So some of that work can be done with the assistance of the ADF.
Right.
Others, local contractors and with council staff also. So there's the priority. Also, as you probably know, the Charleong Bridge, one of the trusses have sunk.
Right.
So Charleong Bridge is closed for the next 6 weeks.
Right.
So that's an RMS issue, but traffic is now diverted through either O'Allen or through Charlie's Forest Road, and that situation's going to be in place for at least 6 weeks or so, making it more difficult. RMS matter, whether that... that bridge gets repaired or it just happens to suit the timing of the opening of the new bridge, we'll just have to wait and see.
Right. But, so how far off is the new bridge?
Well, not quite sure, but driving up to Nerriga back then on the 12th, it looked probably about 80% complete to me.
Right.
So
okay.
It's really progressing well.
Well, it's good, isn't it?
But that's a non-engineer's estimate, 80% complete.
Right. All right. So when you talking of the roads and stuff, what's happening with the Araluen Road with down towards the bottom end, down the Dewey? Is that going to be have some work done on it soon? Do you know?
Yeah, we'll have to do some work on that soon. That's being assessed, and our engineers are looking at that this week. So
right,
yeah. No, I haven't got any more information at this stage, but very much aware of it.
Yeah. One of my co-conspirators, as it were, can't deliver his mail down there at the moment because it's too dangerous. So,
yes.
Wondering what's happening there. Okay, so we've got your music up now.
Yeah, music, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about the council meeting later on and some further resolution of the council about bushfire recovery and some of the priorities, so we can touch on that a bit later on. But, yeah, my music choice this morning, another blast from the past, Frieda Payne, Band of Gold.
Right.
With
All right, Free to Pain, Band of Gold. A bit of a blast from the past. All right, so one of the things that quite a few people are interested in, the Braidwood water supply. What's happening with that?
Well, yes. So just to recap, put things in context, of course, Braidwood went on to level 3 back on the 13th of December. And from the 10th of January, it was announced that Braidwood would be escalated to level 4.
Mm.
So we all know that now across the community, or we all should. Level 4 actually is the highest level of restrictions for anywhere in Queanbeyan Palarang area that's possible. So that's all because pumping from the Shoalhaven River is no longer possible.
Right.
And that only leaves the off-river storage facility for town use, and that storage facility has 72 megalitres, and that's reducing by approximately 1% every 2 to 3 days.
Mm.
So I'm not sure what level it's at now, but I would be estimating around the 75%, 80% level of capacity. So we've had to commence transporting water into Braidwood by truck. That's potable water. And we commenced that trucking operation earlier this week. And up to 5 to 6 trucks will be delivering water 7 days a week, around 10 hours per day. And that's proving to be very expensive. We know that. And we will be seeking state government support to cover the cost of water carting. And we're pretty confident we'll get that covered off in due course.
Yeah.
So the source of the water for trucking will mainly be from Queanbeyan. Now, under our bulk water agreement with Icon Water, Queanbeyan draws all its water from Icon under a 5-year bulk water agreement. Currently, that agreement stipulates that that's water only for use in the Queanbeyan urban area. So we needed to approach, which we did, Icon Water and the ACT government, saying, hey, we need to have that relaxed to be able to truck water into Braidwood. So last Friday in Braidwood, the Chief Minister, Andrew Barr, accompanied me to Braidwood and he held a press conference outside the National Theatre there.
Right.
And announcing that the ACT government had come to the rescue of Braidwood.
Right.
Well, thank you very much, Andrew.
Yeah.
But the reality is it's QPRC is doing the work and supplying water, and there was that technicality into the agreement. But thank you to the ACT government, Icon Water, for relaxing that condition. So that allows us, stipulated, a maximum of 300 kilolitres per day availability out of the Icon Water supply in Queanbeyan to be tracked to Braidwood, 300 kilolitres. So the average daily use in Braidwood has been around 500 kilolitres since the move to level 3, hasn't reached the target. And under this level 4, the daily target for Braidwood is around 300 kilolitres.
Right.
It's actually 280 kilolitres per day. But so we'll be carting around 300 kilolitres per day to keep that off-river storage facility up to an appropriate level. So Braidwood, it's not going to run out of water.
No.
It's going to be trucked in.
All right.
So the other point I'll just highlight is that the drought tap at Bicentennial Park in Braidwood, which allows farmland residents to obtain up to 1,000 litres of potable water per day, of course, will remain open, as will the drought taps in Bungendore and Captain's Flat on a similar basis. Bungendore remains on stage 1 restrictions, and as does, Captain's Flat and Queanbeyan, they're not on stage 1, but they remain on permanent water conservation measures, which happens across the whole of Canberra too, being the Icon water supply.
Yeah.
So I think the community is probably well aware of what level 4 restrictions are all about, but essentially in terms of lawns and plants, watering is only permitted using non-potable water.
Right.
But I think the community's well of that, but the target is 280 kilolitres per day. So we'll be wanting to monitor that and work with the community to achieve that target.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So what intentions are long-term for about the water situation?
Well, yeah, intentions for long... Rain. Rain. get the Shoalhaven River flowing again. However, I did put a motion to the December meeting of council, and I mentioned this, I think, last on air here, to the council meeting in December, that staff assess all the options for augmenting or increasing the off-river storage for Braidwood into the future, and look at all those options and furnish a report to council that's either augmenting or increasing that off-river storage facility. So we need to consider what options there are into the future, because if we're going to get continuing time-to-time drought conditions, it needs to be more sustainable, obviously. I mean, it's pretty simple and obvious statement, but that's what we're going to be looking at in the future.
For sure.
You know, council's come under a bit of criticism. Well, why hasn't this happened before? Well, I can't answer that, because we're a newly merged council with Palarang, and that's what we're doing now. And
All right. So we've had a January council meeting held in Bungendore last Wednesday. What happened there, just briefly?
Yeah, well, not such a long agenda. The main items were the Bungendore structure plan for 20 up to 2048. So we're moving forward to reconsider that next month, because the community are concerned that another month members of the community would like to have more time to have some input into that draft document. So we agreed that. Considered the investment report, but the key item was drought and bushfire assistance. So at the meeting on Wednesday night, we gave consideration to the Prime Minister's announcement that those bushfire affected councils would initially receive $1 million as a payment, and under certain guidelines, and it's up to council to decide how to allocate that $1 million. So I had a lot of discussions with our CEO and our staff, and led the way at the council meeting by putting forward a motion open for discussion to have input from all the councillors for any other thoughts they had. But essentially, in regard to that $1 million, we resolved to allocate funding as follows. Firstly, to offset assistance measures such as waiving fees at the Braidwood Showground, subsidising private works relating to dam clearing, waste disposal fees, waiving those, development application inspection fees, providing discounts in regard to those fees for those bushfire affected properties, people who've got to rebuild, also providing for a level of rate rebates on properties. Total cost around $300,000, we estimate, for those measures. We need to fit out the recovery information centre, and also we need to arrange for repairs at the Braidwood evacuation centre and the recovery camp at the showground. Estimated cost of those works $50,000. We are going to recruit a local bushfire recovery coordinator. Estimated cost $100,000. We also want to recruit fixed term an economic development officer to work with businesses in affected areas across the area, around about $150,000 cost there. Immediately, when I say immediately, as soon as possible in the next week or two, initiate a TV advertising campaign to help restore local economies in Braidwood and Bungendore, around $30,000 there. We need to second a community development officer to engage with the community to restore and build resilience in affected communities. And this is where I was coming back to earlier on about we need to hold a series of community meetings, continue to work with the communities, hear the priorities about the whole recovery effort, provide the information out at Nerriga, Braidwood and down at Araluen.
Right.
So there's a lot of work. You know, we're talking 6 to 9 months, 12 months period.
Yes, for sure.
We've also agreed to include a $10,000 to help help support local wildlife, wildcare recovery groups. And there's about a balance left over, about $200,000. We'll hold that into reserve for unfunded infrastructure repairs. So that's what we resolved at the council meeting. Also, I put forward the motion that we won't be having the annual fireworks display on Australia Day in Queanbeyan on Sunday night. That's only a cost of $5,000, but we waived that. I made that decision back on the 7th of January. We'll forego that, and the $5,000 cost will also go straight into the Braidwood Community Help Fund to help with local recovery works through that fund, which is administered, of course, by the Braidwood Community Bank and the Braidwood Life Centre.
Right, okay. All right, so coming up, we've got Australia Day.
Oh, I just mentioned also at the council meeting, Gavin, the other matter, we had a report to, there is a vacancy on the Braidwood Heritage Advisory Committee.
Okay.
There is a vacancy there, so we called for expressions of interest, and council resolved to support the nomination and appoint Margaret Tuckwell to the Braidwood Heritage Advisory Committee. And of course, on that committee is Kirsty Altenberg, Peter Smith, John Stahl, David Hobbs, and Councillor Peter Marshall. So welcome, Margaret Tuckwell.
Right, there's a whole host of luminaries there. Okay, well, we've got Australia Day coming up this weekend, and then Tom Curtin Outback Show and Braidwood Rugby 7. So we've got a few things coming up.
Yeah, Australia Day kicks off 10 a.m. on Sunday with awards and morning tea at Captain's Flat Community Hall. At the same time, the Bungendore celebrations start at Bungendore Council Chambers with the awards and a community barbecue. And there's, of course, the lunchtime event here in Braidwood, which gets underway at 12 noon, again with all the awards. So I'll be at Bungendore and then Braidwood, and then the big major event in Queanbeyan starts at 4 p.m.
Right.
And I think we've got something like 85 new citizens and taking the oath, and also speeches and all the awards. Now, this year's Australia Day Ambassador for Queanbeyan Palarang is Tim Shaw. He's the award-winning Australian international journalist, host, presenter, radio commentator, keynote speaker, been a great ally of Queanbeyan and Queanbeyan Palarang when he was on 2CC for quite a few years. He's also part of the Federal Parliamentary Press Gallery and a director of the National Press Club. So Tim has determined that he will be at Captain's Flat and the Queanbeyan Awards ceremonies, but unfortunately won't be at Braidwood. But that's his call. We've got commitments of his own. So we're all looking forward to being at Braidwood there, 12 noon at the Servicemen's Club.
All right. And so we've got the Tom Curtin Outback Show. You were at the last one and it got blown out or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, when all of the flash flood 2 years ago. So yeah, Wednesday, 5th of February from 4:30, the Tom Curtin Show. Now, council's coming really behind this show to give it extra support and oomph, with probably extra food stalls, and in addition to the Braidwood Central School doing the barbecue, we're looking at some additional food stalls and building up a bit too, so with a bit of an advertising campaign. It is on a Wednesday night, but that's Tom Curtin's call, and looking forward to that show very much, and hopefully most of Braidwood and all the local farmers can be there. Also, the Braidwood Rugby Sevens, Braidwood Redbacks Rugby Sevens tournament. That's been huge from what I hear.
Yeah.
And looking forward to that, and that's on Saturday the 8th of February, of course.
All right. So, Tom Curtin, where's that going to be? Where's it going to be?
The Braidwood Showground.
The Showground, yeah.
So, Blazade are all set up there. So, arrangements have been made in conjunction with Blazade, how best to handle that, because Blazade have the pavilion, of course, so we don't want to disturb their operation, so it's all being set up
around them.
The Blazade operation.
Yeah, fine. All right, okay, well, thanks for coming on in, and we'll be back again Friday the 28th of February, following the February council meeting.
Yes, looking forward to it.